Save big money on your next painting project right now at Menards. Give your room a grand finish with Pittsburgh Grand Distinction Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer with a tough, resilient finish that is ultra-scrubbable and stain-resistant. Save big on Pittsburgh paint. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast, I made it back from Yankee Stadium. Now I'm at the WFAN studios to talk about fantasy baseball. That's what we do on this podcast. We give you the who's hot, who's not, buy low, sell high, and a trade that I made. Plus, prospects are getting called up and getting opportunities after some trades. Vince filled you in on all that. So a lot to cover in the next 30 minutes. All that and a whole lot more coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. Welcome back to the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. My name is Rami Lavie. That is Vince D'Amato. The New York Mets just took the lead with a two-run double, looks like, by Lindor. Two-run single by Lindor in the top of the ninth inning. But that's not the big news. We have a big story, Vinny. That's the Chicago White Sox. After a 21-game losing streak, they tie the American League record. And I have an interesting tidbit about that afterwards. But did you ever think the White Sox were going to win a baseball game again?
I knew they were going to be bad. I didn't think they'd be this bad. This has been one of the most brutal teams to watch. I mean, historically, right? I had predicted before the season began that they would lose more games than the Oakland Athletics last year, and they are on pace to shatter that. So it's atrocious. I'm so happy I'm not a Sox fan.
Yeah, but they finally win a game, and the crazy part is the previous record held by the Baltimore Orioles. Did you know that they were 0-21? The 21-game losing streak was to start the season.
That's brutal. Can
you imagine? And they were something like 5-35 before they, you know what I mean? Like, your season's over. It's April. It's cold outside, and your season's over. Well, today was cold outside. I was at the Yankee and Angels doubleheader, so we'll get to someone I wanted to mention from that a little bit later. But last night, just one more note from last night. How about Framber Valdez? Almost gets another no-hitter. I was sitting here. We were on no-hit watch here. Almost another hitter for the Astros organization, who has 18 in the history of their franchise. It started, in the 60s? Like, they're not a very old franchise, and they have 18 no-hitters. So that was wild to see. And then, of course, he doesn't get the no-hitter. A two-run home run by Corey Seager in the ninth inning with two outs. A rough one there for Framber Valdez. Still a great pitched game and gets the win.
Yeah, some other notes and things that I wrote down too. Max Muncy started a rehab assignment, hoping to return in a week or two in mid-August sometime. And Jared Jones as well began a rehab assignment. So excited to hopefully see them back.
You know, it was wild when I was at the game on today, actually, game one of the doubleheader. I saw Mr. Anthony Rendon in the lineup.
Yeah, I saw you.
And I was like, right, this is wild. He never plays. And Jesse Winker just got a single, adding to the Mets lead. JD Davis signed with the Orioles, so now he's going to be electric, obviously. And Jackson Holliday, speaking of the Orioles, becomes the youngest player in MLB history to homer in three consecutive games. And I know Blake Snell made his first start since his no-hitter. He's been excellent of late. So anything else?
The only other thing I could think of that I didn't even write down, but I did think about it. Drew Rasmussen is back for the Tampa Bay Rays, probably in a bullpen role, but interesting arm nonetheless. We'll see how he adjusts. He's a guy that I'm going to keep my eye on. Maybe not so much for fantasy this year, but just in the future, he's a phenomenal pitcher. So other than that, no, I'm ready to go. Let's roll. Sorry. Go ahead.
Did you mention on Sunday Mike Trout shut down for the year?
I did not. No, that's a good time to mention that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's never a good time, but re-injured, I guess, his whatever injury he had. I think he re-tore it, and he's going to need a second surgery. So just not good timing for Mike Trout. It just sucks. It's a career that I saw he's played like 30% of total possible games since like 2021, something ridiculous like that. It's like, my God, a career that was one of the greatest players I think we could all agree we've ever seen in our lifetimes. and it just sucks. Another guy like that is Aaron Judge. Like, it sucks to see that the Yankees haven't put, and even after the trade deadline, they didn't put the guy I wanted. You know, Austin Wells has been fine. It's not enough to have Austin Wells behind Aaron Judge. He's still going to keep getting walked. And it's just not fair to people who enjoy watching baseball to watch this guy get walked all the time. He got intentionally walked in the eighth inning of the first of game one today, with two outs and nobody on. And then they basically pitched around him in the last chance the Yankees really had, the seventh inning, when they could have gotten something going. They just pitched around him. And so he's not going to see any pitches. That was to lead off an inning. Unless, like, you absolutely have to, until somebody behind them starts hitting. So it kind of sucks.
Would you have thought that Anthony Rendon would have more at-bats this season than Mike Trout?
I wouldn't have thought that Anthony Rendon would have more at-bats than anyone. I think somebody texted me that I think after all is said and done, Shohei Ohtani, who also dealt with his own injuries, will have played more games for the Angels than Anthony Rendon played for the Angels that contract is up, which is just wild. All right, let's get into it with some who's hot and who's not. Who's your first who's hot?
This one I really struggled with. There's quite a few guys that I wanted to give some flowers to. I will say Ketel Marte and Jackson Churio did just miss the cut for me. There's tons of other guys who are scorching hot right now. But I had talked about this guy a few weeks ago in the prospect report, and I have to finally mention his name. Spencer Schwellenbach, pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, has just been unbelievable. And Rami, I kind of regret this. I tried to trade for him in Dynasty a month ago, and I think the price was, at that point, I was like, I'm not 100% sold. I really wish I would have tried harder. I mean, you look at his last five starts, 32 innings pitched, 9 earned runs, which is a 2.5 ERA. The most impressive part about those five starts is he's got 38 strikeouts to just one walk. One walk in 32 innings. That is the best K-minus walk rate in all of MLB baseball over the last 30 days. His underlying numbers back it up to 36% chase rate, 27% whiff. And the thing I love most is he's got a diverse arsenal, 6 pitch types, and does not use any pitch more than 25% of the time. Rami, we are talking about a potential ace for the remainder of the season. If you're not in on Schwellenbach, it's too late. The guy is legit. He's been showing it. His next two starts are at Colorado and San Francisco. Even with the poor Colorado park, I'm still expecting big things for those two starts and the rest of the season. Schwellenbach is a lock, and he is super hot right now.
You were on this from day one, credit where it's due, because, you know, around here in New York, when he beat the Mets, people were like, oh, you lost a freaking Schwellenbach. And I was telling people, I'm like, guys, no, that's not the way to look at this. This Schwellenbach kid, he's legit. He's for real. So, I thought that about Schwellenbach, and I said, you got to be careful with this guy. He's excellent. So, you know, you were on that from day one, and I learned that because of you. So you made me look smarter. So I appreciate that. And you were on it from day one. My hot is Vinny Pasquantino. Also another one of your guys, I feel like. We talked about first base being a little bit different than we might have thought coming into the year. But in the last week alone, 5 home runs, 13 RBIs, 7 runs scored, a 406 on base, and a stolen base thrown in there. Because why not? He's been the number one fantasy baseball player over the last week, and top 10 in the last 2 weeks. So a really good week for Vinny Pasquantino.
And he was a guy that for a while I was all over, and then he didn't quite get there. He was just kind of floating under the radar, but I'm so happy to see him kind of figure it out, because he is, you know, baseball's better when he's playing well, and the Royals are playing well. So I love that pick from you. My who's not, you got another one. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, actually, I'm going to save it for, because I think it's more of a sell high. So go ahead with your who's not.
So you had just given me some props, but I also have to dig my own grave sometimes. And this is a guy, especially before the All-Star break, I fought so hard for him to get into the All-Star game. I'm like, this guy's legit. How do you not throw him in there? And he just missed the cut. If you don't know who I'm talking about, it's Jake Irvin. Since the All-Star break, he has been atrocious. His last 6 starts, 6.81 ERA, a 1.51 whip including 10 home runs, just one quality start since the All-Star break. And he hasn't made it into the sixth inning in his last three starts, allowing 11 earned and four home runs over those three starts. It's just not been good. His next start is against Baltimore. He should not be in anyone's lineup. I don't care your league size or what have you. This is a monumental collapse we're seeing from Jake Irvin. And it's too bad because, again, he looked phenomenal. He was one of the better pitchers of the first half. And I was frustrated, rightfully so, I think, that he didn't make it in. And now he's not backing up my words from earlier.
Yeah, it sucks because a lot of people agreed with you that, hey, Jake Irvin, you know, he's up and coming. And some people were like, oh, Jake Irvin, wow, you haven't. Remember we did our redraft and people were like, Jake freaking Irvin, are you kidding me? I thought that was a funny clip we posted on social media. And then, you know, and I wanted so badly for you to be proven right. And unfortunately, you've gone like colossally in the opposite direction. So I'm sorry to hear that. I have two guys who are cold, and one is at a position that we've talked about so many times this year, but I mean, we got to bring it up again. He's won for his last 21. That's Will Smith at the catcher position. 091 on base in the last week, only 175 on base in the last 2 weeks. Hasn't hit a home run this entire month. Only has three RBIs and six runs scored. Just an atrocious month for a guy who's supposed to be at the top of the list when you talk about catchers. And if he's not doing it, you wonder why other catchers are struggling. Well, right there. I mean, the top of the league, the supposed best catcher in the league, isn't doing it. So just tough to watch.
I have a friend who's in a dynasty league, but it's an auction league. And he and I were talking, and he's got Will Smith, I think, at $18. And I remember telling him, I don't know if I would, you know, because you have to bump it up next year. I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't feel right. And maybe it's the recent cold stretch, but he's not even a top 200 player right now. And, you know, he's got 15 home runs and he's hitting 246. Like, it's fine, but not the kind of production you expected when you drafted him, you know, definitely within the top 100 picks. So
easy. I mean, probably one of the top after, you know, some of the guys we've talked about all year, and Edwin Diaz just gave up a leadoff triple. But after some of the guys we talked about all year, you know, he was one of those catchers that you thought, you know, obviously Rutschman is my guy, but, you know, he was one of those guys that you expected something from, and he just hasn't been that. The other one I have here is Trey Turner. Trey Turner, 3 for his last 21, a 182 on base in the last week, 192 on base in the last 2 weeks, and only one home run, two RBIs, and only one stolen base in the last 2 weeks for a guy who's supposed to be hitting home runs, scoring runs, stealing bases. He's been doing none of that as the Phillies continue to struggle. I know Bryce Harper has been one of the worst players in baseball. And happy moment, by the way, since the I know they're playing each other. Actually, it's funny that I mentioned two guys from teams that are playing each other, the Dodgers and the Phillies. Did you see the ovation that Freddie Freeman got when he came back after his 8-game absence? Just some of the times when you're like, oh, sports are beautiful, and, you know, happy for him because he was taking it all in. He was emotional, and that was cool to see.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw his comments after, but when he was essentially like, I would strike out 1,000 times in game 7 of the World Series, bottom of the 9th, right, to never go through that. And you're absolutely right. Exactly. And this is why we love sports, right? It's reasons like that where, yes, we love this and we're very passionate about what we do and our teams. But at the end of the day, you know, there's definitely things bigger than sports. And if you didn't catch the Freddie Freeman story, I encourage you to go watch it because it's moving. It's very moving.
Yeah, his son just quickly was hospitalized with a rare condition for about a week and had, you know, had a surgery, and now he's home recovering, and they do think he's going to make a full recovery, but a scary situation. I don't know too many details. That's all I heard. So I don't want to, you know, speak out of turn, but just, you know, a story that was tragic and sad kind of turning into a beautiful story as Freddie's back and his son is hopefully on his way to recovery.
Yeah. Yeah. I echo everything you just said.
Yeah. So moving on to the buy low and sell high segment, I have two buy lows. So I'll kick it off with Willier Abreu, my guy. I don't know if you, obviously you do know who that is. I don't even know if you can buy low on this guy anymore. He's rostered in 42% of leagues in Yahoo, but that's a 24% jump in the last week alone. And the reason is because in the last week, he has 3 home runs, 7 RBIs, 4 runs scored, and a .409 on base percentage. This guy has been awesome for the Boston Red Sox, one of these feisty, fun teams. I go buy. He's already not available in my league. But if you can pick him up off waivers still, I'd do it today. Run. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. He's a guy, he's on a strong side platoon. So just be conscious of that. Like in his last 2 games, he hasn't started and he's got just 2 plate appearances and 2, or I guess, I'm sorry, yesterday I misspoke. But
he's gonna play if he keeps putting up these numbers.
No, I think it's a good call, and that's why I think it's a buy low too, is because he is on a strong side right now, and maybe he plays his way into, you know, a little bit more of a role. Maybe he plays against some lefties if he's really hitting. I think that's a good call. My buy low, again, we all have guys that we just can't quit, right? And I've talked about this guy quite a bit. Parker Meadows. I'm buying low on Parker Meadows. The story on Meadows, he came and he played 3 games after he was recalled in AAA in July. And he went 5-for-12 in those 3 games with a home run and a stolen base. We were excited because he had such a poor start to the year and it looked like, oh, he's finally back. And then he went down with a hamstring injury. And he has since returned, and in 2 games since returning from that injury, he's 4-for-9 with a home run. So the last 2 stretches, granted, it's only 5 games. He seems much more comfortable. Even his AAA numbers were good. It may be a little too early to tell, but that's why it's a buy low. I firmly believe this is the Meadows we thought we were going to get at the beginning of the year. I loved him at the start of the season. I don't see a half of a season of injuries and poor performance from a 24-year-old to be the reason to write him off. This is some of the most important times in fantasy baseball. So if you're fighting for a playoff spot, I think Meadows is a perfect guy to target because he's cheap or free, and he's got great power, speed, upside. Go get Parker Meadows. I think he's a great buy low right now.
I love that. And then the last one I have, I told you guys, but maybe you could still get him on a buy low. When this guy was traded to Atlanta, that's Jorge Soler. I told you right away, run and go get him. But then the slow start to start it with Atlanta, 261, only in 1 RBIs, 3-for-20. No home runs. So maybe people are thinking, maybe it's like, you know what? The Atlanta bump, it's not going to happen. He's going to be the same guy. No, I'm doubling down on it. Go get Jorge Soler and go get him from the Atlanta Braves, who are now the number 1 wild card team in the National League. I think he's going to mash for them still, despite the struggles out of the gate with the Braves. He was on base a couple of times tonight. And was 1-for-2 with a run scored. So the Mets, by the way, won. I was actually going to not say anything so that everyone who listens to this podcast would be like, oh, I'm curious how that game ended, and actually went to look it up, but I slipped. I got too excited. But Jorge Soler is another buy low for me.
Diaz closes the door.
Yeah, Diaz closes it out, gave up the run after the leadoff triple on a sac fly, but hey, all's well that ends well, and a feisty win for the Mets after blowing the lead early and then coming back in the 9th and finding a way. The will to win, to make it happen, Mets.
And doing it against Vodnik, who, you know, he's legit. He's looked really good. So, anyways, let's move on to some sells. If you have 2 sells, go for it.
Start. I have one. I only have 1. Okay.
All right. Well, then I will kick it off for us. And I will preface by saying I'm so sorry, because this one, again, these sells never feel good. This one hurts me. And no, it's not Royce Lewis, although I thought about that one. This one is Mr. Jackson Holliday. I am going to sell high on Jackson Holliday, and let me tell you why. There's absolutely no denying that he's been impressive. I think that's the point of a sell high, right? 3 home runs in the last 3 games. I think that's when people are going to think, the king has arrived, and there's this overreaction, and he's got all the power, and he's such a highly touted dude, and he is. But this is a kid, he's a 20-year-old kid who had 23 home runs in over 1,000 at-bats in the minor leagues. Rami, that's not a lot of home runs, right? Like,
no,
he doesn't have the big boy power just yet. He's always had a problem with launch angle. the hit tool might be figured out. Maybe he's going to come up and he's going to hit close to 300. I don't know. I don't necessarily believe that, but I certainly don't believe in the power just yet. Will it come at some point in the future? Probably. But for the rest of the season, I think you get an absolute haul for Jackson Holliday, maybe a top 50, 75 player somewhere around there. And if trading Holliday gets me allows me to fill a gap or fill a need going into the playoffs, I would do it in a heartbeat. Try to find the best deal, but Jackson Holliday, he doesn't have this kind of power, and it's not like he's got a lot of speed either. So the upside feels capped. And again, I don't buy it. I would sell high right now if I could.
I love that pick, and I so hope you're right on that, because you know how I feel about the Baltimore Orioles, and the fans were like, oh, this guy's putting him in the Hall of Fame before he even played a single down, had a single at bat in the major
played
league.
A single down.
Staring at these football, staring at these football helmets in front of me. Quarter. There's a football over there, picture of Phil Simms over there, picture of Boomer Esiason over there. So I got football all around me, and I'm in football mode. I was at the game today, and it was drizzling the entire time and 60 degrees and windy. An Aaron Judge ball that would have gone out was held up because of the wind. So trust me, I am full on in football mode right now. And I'm excited for football, but hey, we got to finish out the baseball season. Speaking of, let's finish out this segment with Jorge. I said Jorge Soler already. Jock Peterson. Jock, I didn't drink it. I was at a doubleheader. I didn't drink a thing. I promise you. I had like iced tea. I'm working tonight. I didn't drink anything, but maybe a little fuzzy still. Jock Peterson, is hitting. He has a 571 on base in his last week, 3 home runs, 7 RBIs. He's on the Diamondbacks that can't seem to lose, right? The surging Diamondbacks. And, you know, you mentioned Marte earlier. Obviously, Carroll's been better. It just feels like that team, even my guy, Josh Bell, has been awesome for them. But I don't think Jock Peterson's going to keep this up. He is who he is. If you have shares of him, maybe pick him up for a week. Sure, if he's on waivers, but maybe pick him up for a week and then flip him. See if you could trade him, because I think now would be a time to sell high on not only him, but the Diamondbacks in general. Look, they're a solid team, and people are going to look at the second half of last year that ultimately led them to a World Series run. I don't know if they're that.
I actually almost had Jack on my sell high too, because I agree with you.
Yeah,
I do.
Real quick, we could do like a little bit of a league update. I lost 9-0-1 last week, and I was pissed about it. That's my league update.
That was, I think you played the number one team, right?
Well, no, I'm not even talking about our league. I'm talking about my other league, and I was furious. I played one of the, yeah. Oh, was I getting hammered in both leagues?
Yeah, I thought you were. I didn't check this.
Just shout out, I didn't mention him earlier, shout out Zach Neto. I was at the doubleheader at Yankee Stadium today, and he had 4 hits in 2 games, including a grand slam. Kid's awesome on a really just atrocious Angels team. You're always going to split a doubleheader. That's how I feel. That's why when the game got pushed, I was like, damn it, that sucks, because the Yankees should be able to sweep the Angels, but you're almost always going to split a doubleheader. Just how it works. And so the Yankees split the doubleheader with the Angels, unfortunately. And Zach Neto went off on them second game, 3-for-5 with the grand slam.
And as far as, I love Neto, by the way, as far as my league update here, this is, you know, I haven't typically had some really bad luck in head to head, but this year it has been. I have the top offense in 4 out of the 5 categories, or top 3 in 4 out of the 5 categories. I have second most quality starts, strikeouts, but I'm 10th overall in head-to-head, but I'd be top half of the league in roto. So it's so weird. I've never had this kind of, I mean,
sometimes it's like that, right?
Sometimes it is, and it kind of sucks, because it's like, I know it's better. Like, I know my team is better than this. And so Pablo Lopez has absolutely killed my ERA too. So that's one that has absolutely killed me. So as far as league updates, the one that we're in, it's not looking too great. I'm on the outside looking in, still a chance. But if I don't win this week and win well, because it's tight. It's very tight. Let's see right now, between 4th place and 10th place is 8 games. Between 3rd place and 10th place is 9 games. So certainly a chance for a lot of things to swing here.
Yeah, that is tight. By the way, Freddie Freeman, 2 for 2 with 3 RBIs already tonight. So he's having himself a nice, I could use it. I need all the help I can get. Just trying to stay afloat in that other league. Also, I was pretty firmly in 5th place, which is a playoff spot, you know, and once you get in, anything can happen. My team was going well at the right time. And now the last 2 weeks have killed me. I'm back down in 8th, only a couple of games out of 5th still. But you know, just I mean, 0-9-1 is just a disaster week. And it wasn't even close, in any of the categories that, you know, that we had. All right. So do you have a prospect report for us?
I do. I have. There's been quite a bit of prospect movement that could be intriguing for for some 12 and 15 teams. I'll start with Zach DiCenzo, 3rd baseman for Houston Astros, was just called up. This is a guy who's got a decent power speed combination. In 33 games across Double and Triple A this year, he had 6 home runs and 5 steals. Solid numbers. And he was really hot in Triple A in 11 games before his call up. Hitting 391, 472, 739. And he's had 2 straight starts since being called up at first base and DH. Is he an answer for them at first base instead of Dubon, Singleton, since that Jose Abreu thing didn't really work out? Maybe he finds a home there. I would definitely keep DiCenzo on your radar. He's an intriguing guy with average to above average tools across the board. I think he profiles as like this boring type, right? The kind that, you know, he's not going to pop the stat sheets off every week, but those are the kinds you need, kind of players you need. And right now I think his value is a little undervalued. You know, he's been hidden in the prospect world because, well, he's a 3rd baseman for Houston Astros. I don't know if you've heard of another 3rd baseman for the Houston Astros, but I don't think he's going to take Alec Bregman's spot, right? So now that he's up at first base, I think he's getting a chance to show them what he can do. So keep an eye on Zach DiCenzo.
Next. And he might be the 1st baseman of the future, because I honestly think Bregman's staying in the offseason. That's how I feel about it right now.
Yeah, that was another, you know, it's something else to consider too. Maybe they're looking at what they have in a potential 3rd baseman, right? You know, what are they going to offer Bregman? Well, maybe it depends on what we have with DiCenzo. The next guy I have on here, Ryan Bliss, is recalled for Seattle, 2nd base shortstop for Seattle Mariners. Recalled, and Cade Marlowe was sent down, and I had mentioned Ryan Bliss earlier this season when he was called up, and I loved him then, and I still do love him this, like, now. 62 AAA games this year. He's got 10 home runs and 35 stolen bases, including a 261, 380, 466 slash line. And you know I love this. Walk rate over 15%. I mean, 380 on base is pretty phenomenal. He's immediate add in 15-teamers. Potentially in 12s, depending on your needs. If you need a middle infield depth or, you know, some speed, he could be a huge game changer down the stretch, especially if Seattle's offense somehow turns out to be legit. We will see. Still waiting on that. And then finally, the 3rd guy that I want to mention, Victor Scott, the 2nd, comes back up for St. Louis. And in 3 games since being recalled, he's 1 for 9 with a home run. I really liked Scott when the year started. I've since cooled off on him a little bit. He was having a really hot stretch in AAA before the call-up. I still like him long-term, but if you're asking me between Scott and Bliss, I would absolutely be taking Bliss right now. I think he's a little bit more safe. You're getting less power from Scott. You might be getting more speed, but your average is going to be much worse and probably worse counting stats as well. But either way, Victor Scott is still the guy to grab in 15s if you need speed or just outfield depth. I wouldn't expect a whole lot. So anyways, those are the 3 names to watch out for this week. Zach DiCenzo, Ryan Bliss, and Victor Scott. Let's hope they can keep it up and stay in the majors.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I will be looking out for those names, because when I do this for you, I know I get smarter, and not only that, but also my team gets better. You know, because I learned things that I didn't necessarily know, and it helps me compete. So I appreciate that. Now for the mailbag. This is my mailbag to you. My question to you is, I saw this pop up on my screen and I immediately hit yes. It was a trade offer that I was offered, and immediately I was like, oh my God, all in. I got to run and go do this. And I hit accept immediately, and I thought it was such a good trade, and apparently the league thought it was such a good trade for me too, because they wanted to veto it. But the guy explained himself. He's in 1st place in the league, and we're actually playing each other this week. And he's like, I need outfield eligibility. And this guy's been red hot. I want Jeff McNeil. And he traded for Jeff McNeil for me, who has been hot. Granted, credit where it's due. Who do you think I got for Jeff McNeil in a one-for-one trade?
Oh, I'm scared. I don't know. Who was it?
Garrett Crochet. I know he's been struggling of late. This guy says, hey, I don't value starting pitching. I stream them all anyway. It's all the same shit. You can have Crochet. Give me Jeff McNeil with my second base and outfield eligibility. I was stunned. I hit accept immediately, and I hope this propels me to a championship. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I get it. It's hard to veto a trade when a guy's in first place, though. I will say that. It does seem a little odd. I would think you could try to get a little more. But then again, Crochet, you know, he's got innings limits to be concerned about. And are the White Sox really going to push him? Do they have much to push him for? Why would you?
I mean, that said, for me, I mean, McNeil's a guy that I could have dropped.
No, and I absolutely agree with that. That's where it's like,
low risk, high reward.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
No, and McNeil's been awesome. He's been a staple in my lineup for me. Like, you know, but okay. So I put Spencer Steer or not Steer, Friedel in there instead, or just, you know, other things, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, it is. I definitely see why people. I mean, if you would have said this trade, you know, 2-3 months ago, then yeah, we're, you know, it's looking pretty lopsided. I can say I understand it. I just think he probably could have got a little bit more, or you know, what have you. So that is kind of that's a wild one, and good for him for being in first place, I guess.
Yeah, good for him is right. And we're playing each other this week, so I think Crochet pitches on Saturday or Sunday. So I really do hope I get to face him and I get to, and then Crochet just dominates and propels me to the win this week, because that would be really fun. And I hope Jeff McNeil's not having a great week and losing playing time to Jesse Winker. He's pitching against the Cubs. All right.
Cubs on Friday. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. All right. I got to run here in a minute. So is there anything else you had in mind?
I have nothing. This was a good one. Good luck.
All right. I have the giant clock up in front of me. So as I'm sitting in the, if you're seeing Boomer and Geo studio here in New York. So hopefully this will be a good week for me and for both of us. And I do like that trade. I think it worked out. I'm happy that you didn't yell at me and say, oh, you're crazy. McNeil's just getting high. You could have gotten more from McNeil, whatever. You were acting rash or harsh. I think he also kind of wanted to stick it to the league because he did put, Crochet on the block like a week ago, and he said he's being traded by this date, best offer. And I didn't even send him an offer. I just texted him. I'm like, hey, I'm interested, but I never even sent him an offer. And apparently he was frustrated with the offers that he was getting sent, and so he's like, hey, I'll just offer this and see what happens. And I hit accept before anything else happened. He's like, I'm trading him by this date, it's happening. So he did it. But until next time, please like and subscribe, share the podcast with your friends so that it can help us grow and we can continue to do this and get better. Vince and I might do, and I'm thinking of doing this next week, maybe a best ball draft, just a random best ball draft episode for the remainder of the season. See what happens for the final stretch run, month and a half, just between the two of us. Something new for us to talk about, an update as we are winding down. There's less player movement. There's obviously no trade anymore. So, you know, certain things are winding down for us to talk about. So I know you and I talked about the idea. So maybe we'll do that. I don't know if there's anywhere where we can even do a best ball draft anymore. Just do a quick best ball draft and we'll update it every week, and it'll also change of pace. I liked when we did that with the trade deadline episode, so maybe next Wednesday that's what we'll do. But until then, like, subscribe, share the podcast. Appreciate you all for listening. See ya.